I keep losing my employees because I don't have this, I don't have that. You know, we don't have great health benefits. We're trying to beef up our health benefits. We don't have a 401k plan, and they can go to work for some big company and then get these great benefits, right? And then they don't know what it can do. So they just figure, well, it works for the big guys. So I just want something that is going to put me on the same playing field.
And a lot of people don't realize the different things that you can do with a retirement plan to incentivize retention through things like vesting schedules and employee match and things like that. So welcome back to View from Above with John Berger of Altus Wealth Solutions in San Luis Obispo, California. I'm Garrett Lail. Thanks for joining us. John, we talked about improving the culture of the workplace and creating the right type of environment that's going to promote longevity and promote loyalty from your employees and having just that good culture and good workplace environment. And a big part of that is compensation. And a big part of that is the retirement plan. So one of the things that I've done some work in, and I know you've specialized in quite a bit more than I have, is working with business owners to customize their retirement plan document. And a lot of people don't realize the different things that you can do with a retirement plan to incentivize retention through things like vesting schedules and employee match and things like that. So wanted to spend some time kind of tapping into your brain a little bit of expertise and talking a little bit about some things that business owners can do, not only to create a little bit better culture and to reward their employees, but also to then spread that benefit out in a way that is going to incentivize them to stick around for a while.
Well, yeah. And it actually goes back to even constructing, if you don't already have the plan in place, right? If you don't already have a 401k or profit sharing plan in place, is sitting down and just trying to decide what's the best, most appropriate plan for incentivizing the people the way I want to incentivize. Because you can, with new comparabilities and things like that, you could, the owners can be very heavily incentivized, and yet the employees are also getting quite a bit. But as you also alluded to, if you go for bigger matches, you're going to create greater incentives. And it really just means sitting down and trying to understand what it is the 401k plan or profit sharing plan, or even in certain instances, might even be better to do a defined benefit plan. What that plan is designed to do, what are you trying to accomplish with it? And then figure out, all right, of all the potential moving parts, which moving parts do I want to make sure in this plan? And then once that's done, how do I want to design this plan with those moving parts? And how do I want to make those levers? Which levers do I want to pull, and how hard do I want to pull on them? So there's a lot of that goes into this. And really working with somebody who understands the intricacies of all the various types of plans that are out there is really helpful, because it's not just one type of plan you're dealing with.
From your experience working with business owners on this, when you sit down with a small business owner for the first time and they have reached out to discuss starting a 401k plan for their work or starting some type of retirement plan, you know, they've called you up, John, I really want to create some type of retirement plan for my employees. How often do they come in with a plan of, I want to create a retirement plan that is going to allow my employees to save money on taxes, allow them to save for retirement, but also incentivize them to stay with me for at least, you know, 3 to 5 years so that I'm not constantly training new people. And I also want to make sure that they have a plan to be able to have access to somebody who can help them with the retirement plan, as opposed to, I want to expand my employee benefits and start a 401k plan.
It's usually the latter.
Okay. I'm glad that that's the case, that we hadn't talked about that. I didn't know that for sure, but I had a pretty strong feeling that that was going to be the answer.
I would imagine most small business owners, especially those that don't have a plan and haven't been in that space, they're just saying, gosh, you know, I'm losing my lunch. I keep losing my employees because I don't have this, I don't have that. You know, we don't have great health benefits. We're trying to beef up our health benefits. We don't have a 401k plan, and they can go to work for some big company and then get these great benefits, right? So I think that's usually the impetus that starts getting a business owner to think, I need something. And then they don't know what it can do. So they just figure, well, it works for the big guys. So I just want something that is going to put me on the same playing field.
What a lot of business owners don't realize, you have a lot of flexibility. If you come in and say, my goal is to maximize my own tax savings, okay, that's one path. If it is, I want my employees to maximize their tax savings, that's another path. If it's, I want my employees to be able to put some money away. Case in point here. If your employees are making 20 bucks an hour, their number one goal is not tax savings. They're not in that situation. So it doesn't matter what features you put on there. They're not going to max out their 401k at 20 bucks an hour. But a lot of employers do not realize that, you know, things that you can do with the vesting schedule, things that you can do with matching, things that you can do with profit sharing contributions, all these different things that you can then do so that the $20 an hour employee doesn't jump to the $22 an hour job just because it's $2 more, because they might be giving up $5,000 in unvested 401k savings.
Especially owner contributions.
Right.
Company contributions.
It's an important thing for business owners to be able to do, but it's also a tremendous opportunity to build that morale and that connection with your employees to make sure you are on the same page and to make sure that you are communicating to them that you care about their needs and that they're, and it also helps you set up the plan the right way so you can maximize the benefits for everyone.
And you know, the nice thing really, especially about ERISA plans, is a tangible proof that what you are creating is there for them. And that is, as long as the 401k plan is representational of what they want to see, that, you know, tangible proof that you care about people that, but they don't care about it themselves, that's not really tangible for anything, right? So going back to the people, it's like you have this, you have 25 employees, but only five are actually utilizing the plan because, you know, the others obviously weren't having the conversation or wasn't set up to optimize that. So you do want to do kind of both together and make sure that whatever that tangible product is that they're seeing, that that statement that they get every quarter, that it goes, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. I like this. I'm glad my company's doing this for me. It feels good.
From my experience with a few 401k plans that I had, a really useful side effect employee benefit that came from having the 401k plan is if you did work with an advisor on the plan who was really good at employee education and had a very engaging program or process for coming onto the work site, meeting with employees, offering financial education, financial literacy, planning tools, anything that they could, that almost becomes a, or it doesn't almost, it does become a free employee benefit that all employees are able to leverage the use of that financial advisor. Not all financial advisors offer this. I know a lot of financial advisors will basically get the 401k plan and then sit in their corner and hide and hope nobody ever calls them so they can just make as much as they can without having to put much effort into it. But there are a lot of other advisors who really leverage that as an education opportunity, as a networking opportunity to get out and meet with the plan participants. And that can be a huge benefit that I see a lot of employers not take advantage of from my experience with it. You would, I mean, I would beg my companies, hey, let me come out and do education. And they, a lot of times it was really hard to get your foot in the door with it. Or a lot of times they may want it, but they just don't realize you do it. There's a lot of folks out there that probably, or a lot of business owners out there who may not realize what a value or a benefit that can be for your employees to have an advisor that can come on site and sort of give free financial planning to your employees as a perk.
Yeah, that's a very complex aspect of the utilizing these tools and the advisor that you're working with, because I've seen it all the way across the board. I definitely see a lot of advisors that literally just want to maximize assets under management and minimize the amount of effort that has to go into to doing that. And I hear over and over from employers, it's like, you know, I haven't seen my advisor since last year when we basically re-signed to go another year. And my employees aren't seeing that person, you know. So I've seen a lot of that. I have seen employers that are hesitant to have education because it tends to be on employer time, right? It tends to be, well, you're here, I'm paying you, so I'm going to take an hour out of everybody, and you're not working, you're going to get education, free education, and something that could help you. So some resist that, and I guess I understand both sides of that. Hopefully your employees are better. That goes back to the culture question. And then I also see a fair amount of resistance even from employees who aren't sure. They discount it. It's like, oh, I don't, I, you know, he's an advisor. I don't have any wealth to advise. Planning's not for me. I'd rather not unfold the cards in my hand to somebody I don't know, even though they're supposed to be a fiduciary advisor. The same reason they don't get regular financial advice. They don't want to pay for it. But even then, they're scared. Even if it was paid for by somebody else, we ran into this years ago when we were offering it as an employee perk. You didn't even have to have a 401k. It's just like company will pay a X number of dollars per month, and our firm will be available to you for one-on-one. And the amount of participation we got was amazingly low, and I was really shocked by that. It's like access to free advice paid for by your employer, and you won't do it because I just don't think I have anything to talk about. Or they're scared because they think they're doing everything wrong. All those phobias. So it's a very complex question, issue, but it definitely is something that if you are an employer and you have employees that have been asking about it or need help, first thing is the advisor you have, if you have one now, are they doing that? Are they willing to do that? They should be being paid enough that they are able to do that. And to me, that's the best benefit of all of the 401k plan, is the access to a fiduciary advisor for everybody on staff.
And I'll add one more concern that I think employees have with that. I think you summarized it very well there. You've got some employees don't know that the advisor is there for them. Some employers don't know that the advisor is willing to do it. Some employers do not want to give up that time. Definitely some employees don't want to meet with the advisor because they're a little apprehensive, or they don't think they have any money, or they're not sure if it's really free. There's a lot of apprehension. But I think another one that I will add to that, though, is that I think there are times, and this is a very valid concern, that employees are a little bit apprehensive because they think that advisor is only there to upsell them some other product that they're not already paying for. And hey, I'm not speaking to promote you here, and I'm not speaking to put down anybody else. And we haven't even talked about, your approach to this really, but from my seat now as a former advisor, kind of outside looking in, that is one of the things that you got to watch out for if you're an employer or an employee in these situations, is a lot of advisors can talk the talk and say, we're just here to educate you. But what they're really here to do is to educate you about why you should roll this other account over to them, or buy this life insurance policy, or whatever the case may be. So I think that is another one of the things that's a concern. And I bring it up to say for the business owners, when you're vetting this decision, whether it's vetting the idea of should I start one or not, at some point you're going to get to a point where you're going to make the decision of who do I want to do this through. Do I want to go down to my local branch of the bank or brokerage firm and do it? Do I want to talk to an advisor? Do I want to call someone like John? As part of that vetting process, that's something you have to be mindful of, and just finding out, are these used car salesmen that are going to use you as an opportunity to upsell your employees? Are they lazy and they're just going to collect their check and never show up? Or are they bona fide fiduciaries who really do want to help your employees and offer a benefit to them?
I wish I had better suggestions for those employers as you're looking to do this, is, questions to vet the potential advisor. My experience has been, transparency and fees, I think, demonstrates more of a fiduciary approach. So if they're taking 25 basis points of assets under management, that's pretty conflict free, right? So right. You know what they're being paid. It's pretty easy to calculate. And, as long as they're being paid whatever, and the hourly matches out to a decent hourly rate for a firm, because it does cost money for advisors and they got to pay their staff or whoever's doing it, right? So it's not like you can say, well, that pays you $40 an hour and you should be, because there's no, I can't operate my business if I'm making $40 an hour for every one of the people that I have that I employ and myself going and providing that advice. So, you got to be realistic. But at the same point, if the firm is making $1,000 an hour for the amount of work that they're doing on that plan for your business, so that's one piece of the calculation. there are a lot of plans that run through more of an insurance thing. They say, well, we don't do a basis point fee or asset fee. It's just kind of, you know, it's built into the program. It's like, well, now once fees are kind of obfuscated, that opens the potential, not saying it happens with every one of them, but it does open the potential for conflicts of interest to seep in to the process. Everybody who advises, whether they come from the insurance world or they come from the RIA world, as I do, everybody who advises under ERISA standards is supposed to be a fiduciary advisor.
I heard a quote, or not even a quote, it's just a conversation with an advisor or a leader in the industry. Someone said, you know, everyone wants to get rid of conflicts of interest. As long as money's involved, there's going to be conflicts of interest. You cannot do anything about that. And then that's 100% true with the 401k space. Look, I can make an argument. I could do an entire solo episode and do an hour-long monologue about all the different ways that each of these arrangements can be good or bad, depending on the situation, right? But for, you know, avoiding that, yeah, there are pay by the hour can be good. It can be bad. Pay, you know, commission on products even can be good, can be bad. Asset-based fees can be good, can be bad. Per participant fees can be good, can be bad. I could do this all day long. At the end of the day, it really probably comes down to, I mean, I hate to say it because it's such a cliche thing and it's so intangible, but are you working with somebody that's trustworthy or not? Because it doesn't really matter what they promise you if they're not going to do it. It doesn't matter if their business model is right, if they're not going to execute it ethically anyway. That's really not great advice to say work with somebody you trust, because one of the really key marks of untrustworthy people is they're really good sometimes at getting people to trust them. So I don't mean to be a cop out there, but I think there are some things you can do to, you know, vet the credibility of the folks that you're working with, get to know them a little bit, ask around, get referrals. Don't just go for the, if it feels like a snake oil salesman, stay away.
It's probably the only advice. I don't disagree. I fully do agree with that. And you want to work with somebody that is trustworthy, absolutely. I also think that because I actually have worked in the past in places where you had the people who were really good at convincing you that they were trustworthy, even though they weren't, that you want to have a standard where you say, I have this plan, I know what it costs. One, do you really know what it costs? It's not kind of hidden, right? How much is this really costing me? And what am I getting for it? And if at the end of year one, you go, this cost me X number of dollars, and my people got total, all of us got total X number of hours of assistance out of that cost, and do the math, it's like, that's,
yeah,
I'm not getting my money's worth, then feel free to, you know, contact another advisor. And it doesn't mean that having these plans is going to always be expensive. It just means you have an advisor maybe that isn't a great fit for you or your business and that model. Or maybe they aren't as ethical or trustworthy as you thought they were when you started. Be willing to assess and reassess on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, and if you do want to start the process by talking with an ethical advisor and getting just a free second opinion, I know one in San Luis Obispo that you can reach. So you can go to altuswealth.com and find John's contact information. That'll be in the description as well. So a lot of times it really does just start with a conversation with someone and ask the questions and see what, because a lot of employers, if they do have a plan already, they don't know what they don't know. They may not necessarily know where to find the fee disclosure, what the fee disclosure even means. So you do, you know, want to find somebody that knows how to sift through all that and communicate it to you honestly. And I really didn't mean to turn this into a promotional show for you necessarily, John, but
I appreciate it though.
It did work out towards the end there. So, you know.
Yeah. Let me add one more thing A lot of us now have the ability to take the plan, whatever the plan is, get that disclosure and plug it in relative to other plans, just so you kind of know other plans with businesses similar to yours, size similar to yours, probably in the same state as yours, so that you know, it's an apple to apples. It's like, here's where you are compared to your peers, and that can be really helpful because it tends to de-obfuscate a lot of things, that complexity and ERISA and all the rules and these things are not simple. That helps to kind of, wow, there it is. There's my report card. We're spending a little bit more, but feel like we're getting more, or we're spending less. And maybe that explains why you're getting less. I don't know, but those reports can be really, really helpful. And most of us now have access to some kind of reporting mechanism that can put you compared to a whole bunch of other plans that are out there.
Plan benchmarking is a term I've heard that used for that a lot of times, and everybody's probably calls it something a little bit differently. But yeah, you're right. Most people have some type of access to do that, and that's almost always a free service, if I'm not mistaken, unless people have started charging for it. They didn't used to, but it's a great way to just see where you're at.
Yeah, you know, because it costs us money to pull those benchmarks as well. And so in general, what I do now, if somebody really wants to go through the full, we'll do a real cursory one and say, if you really want us to do a deep dive, it's 2 to 3 hours of my time to really get into getting that generated and meaningfully, and getting it presented to you and walking through it with you and having those conversations with you, which then if you decide that what you're going to do with us, I'm going to charge a fee for that. And if you decide to go with us because there's something that needs to go with that, then that fee would get backed out somewhere down the line. I just don't have the ability to throw 3 or 4 hours of my life out there just to tell you everything's great.
Well, and I think that's an interesting point to make, too, because I think that it has been traditionally free. But I think the reason it's been traditionally free has been because when somebody stands to make 10 grand, if the client chooses what they want them to choose, sure, I'll give you 2 hours of my time on the chance to make 10 grand. What I've started to see in some pockets of the industry here and there, it's even something I'm doing a little bit with my own business, even working with advisors and firms, is to say there is a fee just for the work. And then if there is a bigger fee that comes from that work, then the previous fee does kind of go as like a deposit or a down payment or whatever. Well, I'm not going to charge it twice, right? And I think that it's as backwards as that might sound to the public. A lot of times it's actually received very well because it's more transparent, to go back to what you said before. At least I know what I'm getting something as the service provider. I'm not working for free if you choose not to use my product, which means I'm a little bit less biased to push my product, so to speak. Right. And you don't have to pay twice if it's going as a deposit the other way. So a lot of different ways to skin the cat. That kind of goes back to what I said a minute ago. There's a lot of ways to do it, and they're pros and cons to all of them, right? Sure. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. I appreciate your time as always, man, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, John.
Have a good one.
See you.